أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فأما من أوتي كتابه بيمينه فيقول هاؤم اقرءوا كتابيه إني ظننت أني ملاق حسابيه فهو في عيشة راضية في جنة عالية قطوفها دانية كلوا واشربوا هنيئا بما أسلفتم في الأيام الخالية. وأما من أوتي كتابه بشماله فيقول يا ليتني لم أوت كتابيه ولم أدر ما حسابيه يا ليتها كانت القاضية ما أغنى عني مالية هلك عني سلطانية خذوه فغلوه ثم الجحيم صلوه ثم في سلسلة ذرعها 70 ذراعا فاسلكوه إنه كان لا يؤمن بالله العظيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين. صدق الله العظيم. This surah is mainly concentrating on belief in Akhirah. And in that regard, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mentioned some very important facts that will make the person realize that a day is coming soon when we all will be judged. And each and every person will be seeing his record and will see everything that he has done and performed in his or her life. And again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of this fact in Quran al-Kareem, because this is the thing, in fact this is the only thing that will hold the people from doing wrong. This is the thing that will prevent them from getting into evils and doing anything which is not liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and forbidden by His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We find these days that there is a big war of technology. And when we say war of technology, simply means there are people who say that they would like to stop the crimes in the world. And for preventing these crimes, they try to invent all different sorts and types of machineries to stop people from doing something wrong. On the other hand, there are people who are just like them, who are using their brains and their minds also to break their technology and to fight their technology with their technology, with their understanding. And as they will have things to prevent people from committing crimes, those people will invent things to commit the crimes. And all what's happening is, it's the war of plastics and metals. Whoever will succeed in putting better way, will have a better form and way of putting those plastics and metals together, that's the successful person. If the people who claim, and I'm not saying who do, who claim that they like to prevent the crimes, if those people come up with a better idea of using this plastic and metal, then to that extent they are successful. But occasionally we also find that the people who would like to commit these crimes and break those rules, they come up with something that the other people never thought of. And they use this plastic and metal in a better way than the other people were able to use it, and they get whatever they need to do. If we use all the technology of the world, there will always be other things that will break it. In fact, we might be aware of the fact that the same companies who make all of these machineries, those are the same companies who will make something that will detect it also. It's a business. And if we stay within the law in our subject to talk about it, you see the radar detectors, the same company that makes the radar for the police will make the detectors for the public. And then we'll give the police something better and we'll tell the public this is something better for you that will detect that also. Make you spend some good amount of money, and then after a couple of years we'll give the police something better, and then we'll tell you here if you would like to detect that, then you have something else there. You have to buy this thing now. It's the same company that's making all of this. They know what they made and they know how to break it. At the time of making it, they already know the way of breaking it. It's only a money-making business. I don't want to use the word MD for it because that stands for medical doctors. Otherwise, we might use it for money dealers. But the thing is, it's all business. And all of this technology that's coming up, as I said, the same people, you don't have to go and look out for the people who are trying to detect it and break it. The same people who are making things to prevent people from doing the crimes and committing the crimes, those are the same people who are making something that will break those things also. And will allow the other people to commit the crimes through these same machines. With all of this in mind, what is it in the world that will prevent all of these crimes? The only thing that is there is knowing and believing in the day that we all will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will be judged for each and everything that we perform and we do in our life. And as soon as the person will think about it, even if the person is in the darkness of the night, no one is around to watch, and he knows that they can do whatever they want at that time and at that point, they will never be caught. If they remember the day that they will be standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's the only thing that will hold their hands that don't do it. That's the only thing that will prevent the person from doing anything wrong in his or her life. This is the reason you find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to marry people, he used to recite 3 ayahs of Al-Quran Al-Kareem. And all of these 3 ayahs have the word ittaqullah. None of these ayahs are telling us the importance of getting married or the virtues of getting married. These ayahs basically are talking about ittaqullah, fear Allah. You'll be standing before Allah one day. Simply means you are starting a relationship where if anything goes wrong, you won't find no witnesses from outside. You have to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the only thing that will keep you together and will keep you fulfill your responsibilities towards the other parties, ittaqullah. And that is the reason that Quran al-Kareem in more than 200 places keeps on repeating the same word again and again, ittaqullah, fear Allah. One day you will stand before Him. One day you will be presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the only thing that will prevent people from doing wrong in this life. Other than this, people have tried everything. In fact, we know it as a fact. In the United States, there was a time when they thought they should prevent the consumption of alcohol in the states. And they made a law that no more alcohol is allowed in the country. And you go back and find out to see the amazing fact in the history that that was the year when they had the most consumption of alcohol. People protested by drinking more. And we find the same thing 1400 years back, when people were used to drinking alcohol. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made an announcement in Medina Munawwara that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have revealed an ayah of Quran al-Kareem that says drinking alcohol is forbidden in Islam. And we find all the people throwing every drop of alcohol they had in their homes, throwing it out on the streets. To the extent that Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in say, some of them, at that time, the time when the ayahs were being recited, they were just drinking it and the cup was on their lips. A person who's used to it, who's addicted to this, to have it on the lip and then to remove it is not that easy. And for that person to throw it away, and we find in the history that they all threw it away. None of those Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in took a single drop of it after hearing this ayah of Quran al-Kareem. What's the difference? What technology Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was using? Did he have cameras in their homes that if you drink, I'll catch you and you'll be punished tomorrow? No. That was the only technology of ittaqullah. Fear Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us of this fact in this surah of Quran al-Kareem. And basically, the whole surah and the concept of the whole surah is making people realize, understand, and believe in akhirah. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in many ayahs and from the beginning of the surah have proved to us the reality of the day. Al-haqqatu mal-haqqa, wama adraka mal-haqqa. Then he talked about the nations who denied and they were destroyed. And he proved to us in every way that that day is a reality. It will take place. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, be ready. All the human beings will be divided into only two groups on that day. There won't be any third group. There will be only two groups on that day. One group is, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَيَقُولُ هَا أُمُقْرَأُ كِتَابِيَهِ. As far as he who will be given the record in his right hand, he will say, هَا أُمْ, take it, اِقْرَأُ كِتَابِيَهِ, read my record. إِنِّي ظَنَنْتُ أَنِّي مُلَاقٍ حِسَابِيَهِ. I was always sure that I will be seeing this day of judgment. I was sure the judgment will take place. فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ. He will be in well-pleasing life. فِي جَنَّةٍ عَالِيَةٍ, in high gardens. قُرْطُوفُهَا دَانِيَةٍ, the fruits of which will be very low, easy, accessible. You can get it any time within the reach of your hands. كُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا هَنِيئًا بِمَا أَسْلَفْتُمْ فِي الْأَيَّامِ الْخَالِيَةِ. Eat and drink with ease because of what you have done in the past days. Second group, وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِشِمَالِهِ. As far as those who will be given the record in the left hand, فَيَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُوْتَ كِتَابِيَهِ. That person will say, I wish I would never have given this record. I would not have seen this day of judgment. وَلَمْ أَدْرِ مَا حِسَابِيَا. He will be hoping that he have never known what his record will be. يَا لَيْتَهَا كَانَتِ الْقَاضِيَا. I wish if the death would have been my end and I would not have come back to life again. مَا أَغْنَى عَنِّي مَالِيَا. My wealth never helped me. هَلَكَ عَنِّي سُلْطَانِيَا. All of my power has gone away from me. These are the two groups that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say will be on that day. Only two group of people, no third group. A group of people who will be given the record in the right hand. Another group of people who will be given the record in the left hand. Wal'ayaz billah. And that will be the sign. Given the record on the right hand will be the sign that this person is going to Jannah, record is clean. On the other hand, some other people will be giving their record in the left hand. And that will be the sign that it's full of sins. It's full of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So of course we can very well understand the person who will be given the record in his right hand, just like even in this world, when a person gets his degree or the mark sheet and he finds that he has real good marks, he will be really jumping and going around here, see, this is what I got. I got all A pluses. This is what I have. And this is exactly what those people will be doing, those who will get the record in the right hand. So they will know right away that it's something that I can show the people. Ha'um, take it, read it. Iqra'u kitabiya, read my record. Alhamdulillah is satisfactory. This is what I did in my life. Today, can we bring our record to public and tell people this is what I have been doing? Or we are afraid and we try to cover it up? This will just tell us what type of record we have and whether we will be able to present this record to people on that day or not. This is for something for us to judge. This is why Ibn Sirin rahimahullah used to say, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا. Judge yourself before Allah will judge you. That day Allah will judge you for sure. But you better judge yourself before that. Are we able to tell the people what are the type of things we are doing when we are away from people's sight? When people are not watching us? What type of talk comes out of our tongues? How many times do we lie and curse or misuse our eyes and hearing? All of this will be part of that record. If we feel that I can really present it to people, although there are few wrongdoings, but may Allah forgive me for it, but I am doing my best and alhamdulillah is satisfactory, then inshallah we are in good shape. But if you are afraid to put that record up front, in other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is recording everything that we do and perform in our life. Really, this might be just a way of expressing to human beings how record is preserved when we say everything will be written. We might use new terminology for it and say, are you able, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you that movie of your life, everything is getting recorded, where our eyes are looking, what our eyes are looking at, what we are touching with our hands, what do we say with our tongue, what do we hear with our ears? What is going through our mind and our brain and our hearts? Everything is getting recorded. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us that movie of our life, would we be able to bring it to the masjid and play it in front of the public? That this is what I am doing these days. Brothers, please tell me, is it satisfactory or not? One of the scholars was approached by a student who said to him that I have a lot of spiritual problems, spiritual disease, arrogance, hatred for others. I cannot control my eyes. I have so many of these problems. Tell me how to control them and how to treat them. He said the way of treating them is, and this is of course not for everyone, I'm just narrating something that's in our history. He said to his student, after every salah, stand up in the masjid and tell the people that, brothers and sisters, I have a lot of problems. If you see any of my problems, please make me aware of it. And don't shy of telling me public in public. Tell me all of my faults that you know about me, so at least I can fix my faults and my problems. If we would stand in the masjid to announce, make such type of announcement, that, brothers, are you satisfied with me or you see any problems in my life? How many of us can make that announcement? And what is it we do? What is it that we expect to get back, a feedback from these type of announcements? So, this is what will happen on the Day of Judgment, whether we like it or not. It's going to happen. One day, everything will be put up front. That movie of the life will be played in front of the whole public. All the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam will also be standing over there in the same line to watch that movie of the life. And all the people around us will be there also. And everyone will see our record. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, people with good record will be jumping around, going around to their friends, to their people who they know. اقرأوا كتابيه. Read my record. Nothing to hide over there. إِنِّي ظَنَنْتُ أَنِّي مُلَاقٍ حِسَابِيَةً. I always knew that I will be seeing this day of judgment. I always knew that I will be judged. So he's telling the secret that how I was able to have these good deeds. How did I manage to have the type of record that I can bring it, present it up front to the public, and I can make people read it and I'm not ashamed of it? The reason is because I always had in my mind that Allah will judge me one day, and I was acting accordingly. And since that way, that was in my mind. Whenever I was doing something, it was in my mind that Allah will judge me for it. And then I would decide, should I do it or not? So of course, if a person will live that type of life, for sure, he will be able to present his record to people. And plus, we need to remember, part of the good deeds is istighfar. Seeking Allah's forgiveness. Never look down at yourself. Never think, I have done too many wrong things, I can never present my record to others. Part of the good deeds are istighfar. Seeking Allah's forgiveness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this bottle of white out. When you make that mistake, you use the white out. And no one will be able to read it from underneath it. No one will be able to see it. Allah knows that He's not going to reveal it. Allah will not reveal it in public on that day. If you use the white out on it, He will keep it as a secret. And this is where we learn the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we learn from the attribute of Allah, As-Sattar. Satar. What is Satar? Satar is the part of the body that needs to be covered. Allah is As-Sattar, the one who covers up people's mistakes. You use that white out, you think Allah is going to take it off and put it up in the public, He won't do it. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us that istighfar, that wash it away. When you have a sin, if you think you're a sinner, if you think you're a wrongdoer, is never too late. Wash it away. Everyone has that. And everyone has that way of washing it. Everyone has that bottle of white out. Go ahead and use it. And as soon as you use it, that's it. It's gone. The record is clean. Set a new record now. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that that person's record will be presentable and he will be able to show all of his deeds to public, bring it in public. In fact, not Allah, he himself will be bringing it up to people. اقرأوا كتابي. Read my record. This is what I did in my life. إني ظننت أني ملاق حسابي فهو في عيشة راضية. That person now will be in well-pleasing life. What is that well-pleasing life? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that pleasing life will be في جنة عالية, in high gardens. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explaining this عيشة الراضية, this pleasing life of Akhirah. He said in a hadith that life will be a type of life, يَعِيشُونَ فَلَا يَمُوتُونَ أَبَدًا, that people who will live there will never be afraid of death. Or here in this life, there is always a fear that we will leave any time. وَيَصِحُّونَ فَلَا يَمْرَضُونَ أَبَدًا, and they will have the health after which they will never be afraid of being sick. So the person will never get sick and won't even be afraid of being sick. وَيَنْعَمُونَ فَلَا يَرَوْنَ بَأْسًا أَبَدًا, and they will have the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after which they will never lose it and they won't even be afraid of losing it. In this world, we have to protect it. And we are always working to have it more and more, because we are always afraid we will lose it. We might have a worse need. We might have a situation that I'll have to spend more than what I have. We are never satisfied with what we have. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also tells us, وَيَشِبُّونَ فَلَا يَحْرَمُونَ أَبَدًا, and they will be young, so they will never get old. These are the things that are telling us the difference of this life and that life. So it will be a life that a person will always be pleased with it. He's always satisfied with it. فِي جَنَّةٍ عَالِيَةٍ قُطُوفُهَا دَانِيَةٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also telling us the fruit of that Jannah in that paradise will be very close to you, will be very low, within the reach of your hand. Why is he telling us this? This is to tell us that you won't have to work to do anything over there or to get anything over there. You are just sitting on your bed and you like the fruit from one of the trees, the fruit itself will come down for you and you take it. We are trying to get as much comfort of the life we can in this world. And for that, they are inventing all different type of things, that you press some buttons and it will prepare the food for you. And still we find ourselves, the more we are having these type of things that will make, or at least we feel will make the life easy for us, the lazier we are getting. And I'm sure people were not having as much difficulty before in the old days for going to the jungle, cutting up the wood, bringing it to their homes, going to the well, getting the water and bringing it to home. And they would do all of this and they will still feel only as much difficulty as we might feel for using the microwave. Oh, who is going to get up and go all the way to the kitchen and then I have to wait for 2 minutes there? So it's not that as we get these things, our life is getting better. In fact, we see ourselves and we find ourselves, we are getting lazier with these type of things. And we are getting weaker. And all of our abilities are going down. And day by day we find our abilities are just going down. We always find and we read in the history that Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam used to get prophethood at what age? At the age of 40. Why? Quran used the word balagha ashuddahu wastawa, that he got to his proper age, strength. Balagha ashuddahu, he got to his strength. And now he's perfect. Today, if we think about the age of 40, already knee problems and back problems. We start getting old by that time now. And they used to get proper young and real young at that time, and they are strong now to go out and walk with the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are getting weak. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, you won't have to work for anything in Jannah. This is what the ayah is saying. قُطُوفُهَا دَانِيَةً. The fruit of it will be close, will be low. Everything within the reach of your hands. You just get it. And there won't be no responsibilities over there. It's not that if you do the salah, then you will stay in Jannah, otherwise you won't stay. No ibadah anymore. كُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا هَنِيئًا بِمَا أَسْلَفْتُمْ فِي الْأَيَّامِ الْخَالِيَةِ. Eat and drink with ease because of the work that you have done in the past days, for what you have done in this life. So the work is in this life, and you get the results in the Akhirah. Whatever we do over here, we'll get the results of it in Akhirah. And this is why, when you look at the lives of Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam, and then the life of the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, and then the life of the virtuous people of the Ummah that we call them As-Sulaha, Muttaqeen, the virtuous people of the Ummah, you see them working so hard in this life that when you see that person dying, when really, when I hear about a virtuous person or read about one of the virtuous people, one like one of the Sahaba, Tabi'een, or great Sulaha of the Ummah, virtuous people of the Ummah, I read about their death, their life, and then their death. It seems that you want to say that after working so hard, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, enough, now you need some rest. So I don't want to keep you in this world anymore. You need some rest. Let me take you back. Go back and rest now. So this life is basically for work. This life is not made for rest. The purpose of the life is not resting. If you need long sleep, mashallah, there is a grave coming next. Sleep for a long time. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, that when a believer dies, and the angel come to ask him questions in the grave, after asking him the questions and after replies to those questions, they said to him, now, نَمْ كَنَوْمَةِ الْعَرِيسِ. Go and sleep. And no one is going to wake you up till the day of judgment. A window from the Jannah will be opened towards his grave, and he will be having rest over there. So, basically this is what this ayah is telling us. What is it that we will be getting over there? At the same time, it's telling us what is it that we need to do over here. So the comfort over there and no work over there is because of working over here. كُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا هَنِيئًا بِمَا أَسْلَفْتُمْ فِي الْأَيَّامِ الْخَالِيَةِ. You eat and drink over there with ease because of what you have done in this life. Because you work too hard in this life. As I said, looking at those lives, all you can see is really Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the person, you worked so hard and now you need some rest, let me take you back. Have some rest, then inshallah, then you will go to Jannah. So in this life, we need to work as hard as we can for that life. The harder we work, of course, the better results we will have over there. To a certain extent, we all are used to hard working. And alhamdulillah, it's a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we might just need to think about changing the direction of this hard work. That right now the direction of all of this hard work is towards earning more and more of the worldly gain. If we just change that direction, we are used to it. How many times and how many people around us might hope, I wish if I was, we see one of the doctors, mashallah, who might be having, at least from the outlook and the way we see it, he has, mashallah, a nice house, nice car, doing well. So we say, I wish I was a doctor also, or my son becomes a doctor. Okay? Then you need to ring his beeper also at 3 o'clock in the morning and wake him up for Salatul Tahajjud then. If doctor has to wake up and go and see the patient, now wake him up if you wish. If he was there and he was also one of those people, wake him up then at that time. We need to get lessons from our souls. We are used to this hard work and we are willing to do all of this hard work. But we limit our this hard work only to the worldly gain. If we change the direction of the life and start using the same thing, the same method, use it for akhirah. Use it for pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Get up to do some ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To pray some raka'ahs for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the beginning, everything seems difficult. But if we get used to it, inshallah, Allah will make everything easy for us. But the main thing I was mentioning is getting our souls used to hard work. To what extent? Look at the life of Sahaba Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We can never reach that limit. That is something that we can see as a limit over there for us, as a criteria for our souls, but we can never get to that limit. Which is standing up for the night for during Salat al-Tahajjud for such a long time that feet are swollen, and still with those swollen feet he is standing up to do Salat al-Tahajjud. Subhanallah. Something we cannot even imagine. If we have a small wound on our feet, we would not stand up for the salah. For minor things, we miss even the fara'id, and his feet are swollen, and standing on these feet for the whole night performing salat al-tahajjud. This is really the ibadah. This is the hard work. We don't have the time, otherwise I would have gone through the schedule of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life to tell us what this hard work means and what does being busy means. We feel we are too busy. We are working too hard. But we all at least have some information about his life that we can think about and realize how busy schedule he had. And just as a proof of how busy he was during the daytime, Allah who knows the whole timing of it. He knows each and every minute how he spends it and where he spends it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, O Muhammad, you won't have time during the daytime. This is why you get up during the night to do some ibadah and to perform some nawafil, tahajjud prayer. Get up during the night because you don't have the time in the daytime. Can Allah witness for? Would Allah witness just like that? He knows the whole schedule. And his witnessing, إِنَّ لَكَ فِي النَّهَارِ سَبْحًا طَوِيلًا. You have a lot of work in the daytime. You won't have all of this time. So therefore, get up in the night time to do the ibadah. This is the busy schedule. I find a lot of times when we say, we are very busy. 8 o'clock, the person is sitting at his home. Doing what? Watching the news. He's extremely busy. If you go back and sit at your home and relax at 8 o'clock until next morning, 7 o'clock, you have nothing to do. So these 11 or 12 hours that you have, and you're telling me that you're extremely busy? And really, a lot of people who feel that they are busy, they don't work more than 12 hours a day. And how many hours do we have in a day? It looks like
24.
We have just little over 12, that the person worked for 12 hours and he doesn't know, now he's too busy. Really, if we look at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's schedule, how he was spending the whole day, and we see how he was using each and every minute of his life. We sit for lunch, and the person is so lazy to get up that he spends an hour over there, 2 hours over there, and still he's busy. We sit and chat, and the person is spending an hour, 2 hours over there, and still he says he's busy. So, really, we don't really know what is hard work, what hard work is in reality. But whatever we do, to whatever extent we are used to this hard work, at least if we change the direction of this hard work and use it for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if not everything, at least little bit out of it. Little bit out of it for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, in this work, we have to work hard. We have to work hard for the Akhirah and to get that peace of mind and that life, which will be pleasing life over there. In order to get that, we have to work hard in this life. كُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا هَنِيئًا بِمَا أَسْلَفْتُمْ فِي الْأَيَّامِ الْخَالِيَةِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to people that eat and drink now because of the hard work that you did in the past days. وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِشِمَالِهِ As far as those, and as far as that person who will be given the record in the left hand, فَيَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُوتَ كِتَابِيَ He will say, I wish if I would not have been given this record. وَلَمْ أَدْرِ مَا حِسَابِيَ And I wish I would have never known what my account is and what is it that I have in my record. That person will not be hoping to get Jannah. It's not that the person will say, I wish if I get the Jannah. He will say, I wish if everything that I have done in that life will just be wasted and I get nothing out of it, but I don't even get punished for these deeds, for my sins. Ya laytaha kanatil qadiyah. I wish if my death would have been my end, I would never come back to life. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another ayah of Quran al-Kareem, in Surah An-Naba, وَيَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا The disbeliever will say, I wish I would have been a dust. They will be hoping to be dust now. But Allah says, there is no choice of being dust either. And what are the things that normally keep the people away from working for Akhirah? Look at the beauty of Al-Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beautifully explains these things. مَا أَغْنَى عَنِّي مَالِيَةً There is the person who will be punished, who will get the record in the left hand, will say that day, مَا أَغْنَى عَنِّي مَالِيَةً My wealth is not of any help to me. That simply means, I wasted my time after that wealth. مَا أَغْنَى عَنِّي مَالِيَةً My wealth is of not any use to me now. It's not helping me at all. And the second thing, halaka anni sultaniya, all of my power has gone away from me. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, what is it that He would say at that time? At the same time, we can understand from it that these are the things that kept him away from working hard for Akhirah. And if these ayahs were not there, still, looking at ourselves, we could have got to the same understanding and we really would get to the same understanding that what is it that's keeping us away from Akhirah, from working hard for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Same mal, maliya. This mal, this wealth. And the second thing is, the little power that we have. What is this power? Every human being has some power in this world. King, is called Sultan. One of the words for king, ruler, is Sultan, which means the person who has power, control. But every person has some power, some control. We have some power within our own family. We have some power in our workplace. We have some power at the people who are under us. And because of this little power that we have, how many times, just depending on these things, I have work, I have family, using these excuses, we neglect the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this wealth and power, these are the two things that are keeping us away from working hard for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here we can understand that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the human being, beware of the wealth and beware of the power, He is not telling us that the wealth is bad. He is not telling us that the power is bad. All what He's telling us, that the wealth and or the power that will keep the person away from the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bad. Otherwise, if this wealth and this power is making you do better ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then mashallah, is good for that person to have more of that. If we can use it the right way. Halaka anni sultaniya. This is one of the things that he will be remembering, that all of my power has gone away from me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to angels, خُذُوهُ فَغُلُّوهُ, take him and chain him. غَلْ means any type of chain, and especially the type of chain that's tied in the neck. But generally, any chain by which the person will be chained up. ثُمَّ الْجَحِيمَ صَلُّوهُ, then throw him into the hellfire. ثُمَّ فِي سِلْسِلَةٍ ذَرْعُهَا سَبْعُونَ ذِرَاعًا فَاسْلُكُوهُ. And now in the hellfire, tie him up with a 70 feet long chain. What does this 70 feet long mean? Remember, in Arabic language, the word 70, 700 means a lot. If there is something that's small in number and you want to say a lot, you say 7. Little more than that, you will say 70. As the hadith says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, Wallahi inni la astaghfirullah fil yawmi akthara min 70 marra. I swear by God that every day I do istighfar more than 70 times. That means a lot of time. Just like nowadays we are used to use the word 100. So we say hundreds of time. So they used to use the word 7 and 70, 700. So this is exactly what 70 means. And there are many ahadith where you find the same word, this number is being used. 7, 70, 700. So these type of numbers simply means a lot. And here, which means, it says, in a chain that is 70 feet long, which means a long chain. And he will be tied up with that long chain, which means that he will be chained throughout his body. And why the word 70? I did not find the answer to it in any of the ahadith, but it reminds me of ahadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the bodies of the people in the hellfire will get extremely huge. The bodies will get huge in the hellfire. And they will get so big that in some of the narrations it says that he will be 70 feet long. So that simply means the whole body is chained. So the person will be chained throughout his body. And what's the reason? Same where we started from. Going back to the same point where we started from. إِنَّهُ كَانَ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ. he did not believe in God the Almighty. See, believing before Allah, remembering standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is where the subject started from. Believing in Akhirah. Believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and believing that we will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينَ. And he did not even encourage others to feed the poor people. Two problems. One is, did not believe in Allah. The second is, did not encourage others to feed the poor. I don't want to go into too depth of these ayahs, although they are deep. But very briefly understanding the message, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us he had two problems. One is, neglected the rights of Allah. The second is, neglected the rights of the people, of human beings. لا يؤمن بالله, did not believe in Allah, rights of Allah. وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينَ, did not encourage others to feed the poor, neglected the rights of people. So these are indications to two different types of problems we have. A person who does not believe in any of the things that are regarding Akhirah, it's because of not having proper belief in Allah. If the person would trust Allah, will believe in everything about Akhirah. No reason of rejecting it. Because Allah has mentioned everything, He sent His Messenger, and Messenger taught us everything. No reason of rejecting it except rejecting the belief in Allah or not having the proper trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when it comes to the rights of human beings, there are different limits of it. One is there are people who do not fulfill the rights of people. They are not nice to people. But there are some people who even go a step beyond that. And their morals are so down that they cannot even see other people doing something good. They cannot see even other people doing something good. Subhanallah. How low this person have gone. And this is why Allah says, He did not say that He never used to feed people. He never used to feed the poor people. Allah says, He never even encouraged others to feed the poor people. Forget about Him feeding others. He did not even like others to feed the poor people. We might be trying to think at this point that let me find out who can I think will be of this kind of person. Who is this type of person that I can think about? Spiritual diseases are such that no person can find out exactly what his disease is until when the person will go to the right doctor who would prescribe the medicine to him and will tell him, will diagnose the disease for him. Ask anyone over here with this good people that we are sitting, alhamdulillah. Ask, and we need to ask, if we ask everyone here, do you think you are arrogant? Not me. Do you think that you are a liar? No, not me. Do you think that you carry grudge against others? No, not me. And as go through the list of these diseases, spiritual diseases. Anyone think that he's miser? No, alhamdulillah, I've been spending a lot. These are the type of diseases that we can never figure out what we are going through. It's only others that will tell us who you are. But of course, we don't want everyone to start telling us because people will confuse us. And normally what happens is people will only tell you the problems, not solutions. How many times we hear long lectures? And at the end of the lecture, in reality, if you sit back and try to make notes, all the notes you might have come up with, that problem, second, number two problem, number three problem, number four problem, what's the solution? The person forgot to tell us the solution. So we need people who will tell us the solution, also if they are telling us what the problems are. So this is exactly the problem with these spiritual diseases, that people cannot understand their own or find out what their disease is until someone else will diagnose the problem and will then tell us, we will have to ask the person, what's the solution? And the person also knows the solution to it. There are so many types of disease that you don't even know it. And you never even noticed it. You went to the doctor for regular checkup, for something else, and he sends you for some type of test, and he says, when I ask blood to some people, he will tell a person, you have a blood cancer. Now this person goes back and he really says, he's telling everyone, I have cancer in my blood. Have you seen it? No. Do you feel it? No. Any problems? No. The doctor told me. He trusted the doctor. We need some spiritual doctors who will diagnose these spiritual cancers for us. And believe me, these are worse cancers because, for example, take the arrogance about which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if you have an atom of arrogance, لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال حبة من ذرة من كبر. A person who has an atom of arrogance will not go to Jannah. What type of cancer is this? That will, an atom of it will prevent the person from going into Jannah. Go to the second step. Look into your heart. Hatred towards others because they are better than you. Of course, Islam teaches us the love, will teach us the hatred also. Who to hate and who to love, Islam teaches us all of them. But hatred to others, just because the other person is doing better than us, this is grudge. This is jealousy. And what does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? الحسد يأكل الحسنات كما تأكل النار الحطب وفي رواية العشب. That jealousy keeps on burning and consuming the good deeds, taking away all the good deeds, just as the fire keeps on consuming the wood. Imagine if there is a room full of wood, but you also know that there is fire in the room. For how long do you think this wood will remain over there? Every day you go and bring 5 pieces of wood and throw it in the room. And you feel that I'm having a lot of it. But we don't know that there is fire in the room that's eating up all of it. Every day we go and perform 5 salah and we put it over there with the good deeds. And we don't know that there is something over there that's eating up all of that. So this is the situation of the spiritual disease. So the reason I mention all of this, so we can understand that this miserness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about in this ayah is not something that we need to go and think about a third person. Let's just start looking at our souls. And who knows, there will be something over there in our hearts, in our lives also out of it. So that's one thing, but generally the ayah is speaking about all the problems that we have and generally the rights of people. وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينَ. That those people, they had a problem that they never used to encourage others of doing the virtuous things. فَلَيْسَ لَهُ الْيَوْمَ هَا هُنَا حَمِيمٌ. Inshallah, we'll continue from there in our next session. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدَ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.